Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, November 2nd, 2015. And with me today from the MacCast, I have Adam Christensen. How are you, Adam?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. And thanks for being here.
Hey, and, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's awesome. And also awesome, John Martellaro. Thanks for being here, John.
You're welcome. Good morning.
Good morning. And yeah, and hey, we have a sponsor this week, and our sponsor is Drobo. So thank you, Drobo, for being our sponsor. That's really cool. I'll talk about them soon. But before we talk about them, I figure the big white elephant in the room topic that we need to hit right away is Apple TV, because we've had them for a weekend, and now it's time for us to talk about our first impressions. So so I'm curious. I'll start off with me. And okay, so here's my experience. I'm having a slightly dysfunctional relationship with the new Apple TV. I'm loving it, and I never want to give it up. And at the same time, it's frustrating me, and it's making for some very sad moments at times, which isn't the most glowing review that I can give the Apple TV, but man, I'm really glad I have it, and I'm really excited about its potential. So, what do you guys think?
Adam?
I'm really enjoying it, frankly.
Yeah, well, overall, I'm really enjoying it. There's a few things that are really bugging me about it, but anyhow, continue.
Yeah. I'm along the same lines. I think I commented on my own podcast that it feels like a product that is great, but has some rough edges that Apple should have maybe smoothed out before they released it, which is very unusual. So I guess that's the dilemma I'm having with it, is that it's one of the first Apple products that I've purchased in a while where it feels like it wasn't quite ready to ship, but Apple maybe shipped it anyway.
I'm curious about that. Tell me more, Adam.
So I've had a couple instances where things will just lock up, where it becomes totally unresponsive, and I either have to kill apps or reboot the Apple TV. I've had a couple times where it, you know, crashed back to the home screen, sort of all really? On its own. Yeah, we were watching some stuff last night on some iTunes content, and it literally just midstream the screen went black, and then it went back to the home screen. And then I did have one instance where it totally rebooted itself one time. So wow, we've been using it pretty heavily since I got it on Friday, though. So I don't know how much time you guys have spent with it, but we've been spending quite a bit of time with it Friday.
I think you spent more time with it than I have. I had some stuff to do Saturday, so I didn't get it installed until about 4 o'clock on Saturday, and started messing around with it. And then Notre Dame game came on, so I switched over to that. But I had some time on Sunday to play with it, too. And I didn't have any crashes or any irregular operation, but I did play with Siri a little bit, and my first attempts at Siri were abysmal failures. I got to work with Siri a little bit more to try to get it to get tuned in to me and what I'm thinking and how I want to use it.
Now, when you say you had issues with Siri, was it just not doing what you expected, or literally not responding to your voice?
It responded okay. It just seemed to be more limited than what I thought. I had read about universal search, and so I thought I was just going to be able to search Netflix from the home screen. Before I had logged in to Netflix, and it couldn't find what I was looking for on Netflix.
That I don't know.
So I'm going to do some more experimenting. You know, have Siri launch Netflix, and then once I'm in Netflix, see how the searches go.
Oh yeah, no, I had no issues. You know, requesting content. So you know, show me comedies, and then followed by just the ones in Netflix as a second request, and it worked beautifully. It just filtered right down to comedies that were only available via Netflix. Netflix.
So I wasn't too happy
with that same experience.
Wasn't too happy with the sign-in process.
We haven't gotten to that yet.
I thought that was going to be solved. You know, for years and years we complained about this keyboard matrix. You know, up, down, right, left, over and over. You know, fill in the letters, blank, blank, blank.
I'd kill to have that back right now.
No
yes,
kidding.
Actually, I think it was better.
Yeah, having all the letters in a single line for me is just a horrible interface for entering passwords.
Well, I was sure they were going to let you do it with Siri.
At least if they're going to put it all in a single line, can it wrap around so that when I get to Z on the end, it just wraps back to A when I continue pushing right instead of having to go all the way 25 characters back to the left to A?
That's smart.
You know, and if we've let one password generate random passwords for us, and then you're having to put those in for Netflix and HBO Go and everything else. Oh man!
Well, and that's the other pain point, John. Is a couple times, you know, it's given me the typical thing you'll see on iOS, where just randomly it will ask you to log back into, you know, iCloud or, you know, some other thing. And in one instance, I accidentally, I was trying to just navigate through and I accidentally logged out of an account. And it was what did I just do? Now I got to log back in. Luckily, one trick to give listeners, in case you don't notice it, there is, at least on the email username field, a recent option in the second row. So at the end of the second row, once you've entered some accounts once already, there is a recent button that you can click on, and it will give you a list of recent usernames and emails that you've used. So you can select those in one click and get those re-entered. So
saves you there.
Doesn't save you on the password, but that has been a little bit helpful. But those are the kinds of things, like in the user experience area, again, there's some rough edges. The fact that in the App Store, there's no way to browse apps is like a huge oversight, in my opinion. And I'm sure it wasn't an oversight. It feels to me like it was, hey, we've got to get this out. This is what we have now. You know, we hit the deadline. You don't have time to tweak the browsing section. So we're just going to launch it like this. And it just feels very un-Apple-like to me. It feels almost beta.
Yes.
One of the things I noticed was that some apps that were applicable to the Apple TV that I had already purchased from my phone or acquired were applicable to the Apple TV and just showed up. And one of them was the Ookla speed test that just showed up right there on the Apple TV. And for the first time, I was able to, you know, direct test the speed of my connection.
It wasn't pre-installed, though, right? Yeah, sorry, Jeff, you were probably asking the same question I'm asking.
Yes, same question. It was not pre-installed. It showed up in your purchases, and you were able to install it directly from there, right? It just wasn't on your home screen.
Let's see. That's right.
Yeah, because that
was easy to reinstall it.
That was another frustration a lot of people had, was there was, you know, they could have been smarter about either using iCloud Sync or something to realize maybe the apps that you had on the prior generation Apple TV and at least preload those or something. Like the fact that you have to reinstall every app, and this was another problem I had with the App Store, is that not every app is featured in the App Store. So for example, I don't think YouTube or Vimeo are currently featured, but those are two channels that I like to have on my Apple TV. I had to go like search for those, find them, you know, install them. It wasn't readily clear that those channels were even available. I mean, if you didn't know, I was in the know, so I knew those were probably going to pop up in search. But for somebody transitioning from a prior generation Apple TV and suddenly, you know, NFL, NHL, all those dozens of channels that Apple had pre-installed on prior generations, they're all gone.
I like this 30 fresh.
I like it too. But again, thinking of a customer who is used to the old Apple TV, that's a jarring experience. And if they're not like us, you know, geeks in the know and know, oh, Apple's totally changed it, all the apps are, you have to install one by one.
Right.
So a customer is going to be very confused, and there was no explanation. There's no.
My thinking is that a lot of those things customers didn't use, and they knew that Apple had installed them, but they didn't sign up for them. And they see HBO and they go, yeah, I know that's in there because it's an option for me, but it's just cluttering up my screen. And when I don't see it on the new Apple TV, it's because I didn't pay for it. So I think there's something to be said.
Settings.
Yeah.
in, say, HBO Go or any of the sports watching apps.
ABC or CBS or,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
Then maybe have those settings go over to the new Apple TV and the apps automatically install.
Ooh, speaking of settings, it's so cool to be able to configure it by putting your phone next to it.
That was good.
That was really nice.
Yes.
I totally agree on that. But, you know, getting back to the channel thing, like I use PBS and, you know, I plug in the new one. There's no PBS. What's going on?
Thank you for reminding me. I need to install PBS.
Yeah. So, again, I knew that I could go look in either purchases or search for PBS and I'd find it. But, again, I think your average customer may or may not realize what's going on. So again, it's more of that. It's the fit and finish. It's the polish. These aren't deal breakers in any way, shape, or form. But it just feels like a lot of the processes were not either totally thought through. And I don't believe that that's Apple. I think they have thought all these things through. So then I fall back on, well, maybe they didn't have time to implement in the way that they wanted to. And that's when I get to, this feels like they rushed the product out the door. Like, I would have rather they waited 3 more months and polished some things, some of these experiences up. And I think they will get polished up over software updates. It's just, it's a different way of Apple doing things, which is just puzzling to me. Because in the past, I think they would have just literally not launched the product and given their engineers and people more time.
I know, but we waited 3 years. Yeah. Well, you know where I felt that was lack of ability to control those video screensavers. Mm-hmm. I was hoping I would be able to manage them and say, no, throw that one away. I don't want to see that one anymore. And make this one the default. And I want this one to be always on when I hit the menu button, go to my screensaver. The video screensavers are awesome. They're beautiful. But there's no way to manage which ones you're going to see. You can manage how often new ones are downloaded.
Right.
But that's one of those things that I felt was unfinished.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, not to sound negative on the whole thing. I don't want people to get the impression that it's negative. I think it is a vastly better Apple TV experience than the prior generations.
I agree.
You know, overall, the whole thing is leaps and bounds better. So these are just minor little, you know, again, fit and finish.
Observations.
Edge things that are annoyances that just, it feels like Apple in the past would have thought these things through a little bit.
Out of the box observations.
Yeah.
Overall, it's a really great product. And like I said earlier, I'm really excited about the potential for Apple TV, and I'm really excited to see what happens with the software updates that we know are coming.
Yeah. More apps, you know, more apps. Apps, though, are great. The one area where I'm been super impressed and was not expecting to be was with games and gaming on the Apple TV.
Yes.
It is a totally different experience than just using an iPad. And I guess my initial thought was going to be, you know, what's the big deal? It's going to be, you know, iPad on the big screen, or it's just going to be like the times I took my iPad and used AirPlay and threw it up on the big screen. I don't see how this is really going to be any different.
And then you started playing games.
And then I started playing games.
You bought the game controller?
I did buy a game controller, and I'm happy. I'm actually very happy that I did, because it does, for certain games, bring up the gaming experience. It's certainly not required in any way, shape, or form. So every game that I have installed right now is fully playable with the Apple remote. And I was curious if that was the right decision for Apple to make, but now having had the system and played a few games, I think that's absolutely the right choice. I think, you know, not requiring anything additional out of the box to get games working is the smart way to go.
I agree.
Yeah, that said, I picked up the Nimbus SteelSeries controller that Apple has. And for certain games, I have a game called Transistor that, you know, then can leverage the additional X, you know, Y buttons versus just the A and B buttons, as well as some of the extra controls. It makes playing that game a much more pleasurable experience. And again, to compare it to, I had that game on the iPad. The controller makes it feel like a console game on the Apple TV, yet I can still go back to playing it on my iPad and use the swipe controls and the gestures that were correct for, you know, an iPad experience. So it certainly enhances the gaming experience and makes it feel more like a console gaming experience. But again, not totally required.
Yes. The fact that I didn't have to buy anything extra to start playing games was great, and especially because I'm a very casual gamer.
Yep.
So if there had been any barrier to entry, like having to buy a separate controller, the likelihood I would ever play games on my Apple TV is pretty much zero.
Yep.
But one of the first things I did was install a couple games so I could see what they're like on Apple TV. And I was really, really pleased with the experience.
Yeah. And I...
Yeah. Okay.
The other thing I'm realizing is that any company that makes a $200 or sub console gaming system or gaming box or whatever it might be should be very much threatened, I think, by the Apple
yes,
TV.
I agree.
It's not gonna do anything to affect the PlayStations or the Xboxes or the high end consoles out there. I don't think there's any threat there, other than they may lose casual gamers. But I think most casual gamers didn't buy $400 gaming consoles.
Right.
But those of us who, like myself, I had a Wii and I didn't buy it until it dropped down to about the $200 price. I'm not going to be hooking my Wii back up because I am a very casual gamer. I play, one or two games on a system like the Wii a month. It's not a daily thing. I don't see the need for it now that I have the Apple TV. I'll be able to find plenty of games to keep me satiated with games through the Apple TV at this point.
Yep. And once the Lego games come out for Apple TV.
Yep.
I mean, that's why I have my Wii. It's so that I can play my Lego games. And I've considered buying a Wii U, but held off because I knew Apple TV was coming. Mm-hmm. And after playing, I've played like two games on my Apple TV. But that was enough to convince me that I shouldn't buy the Wii U and just wait for Lego to release their games for Apple TV and call it good.
Yeah, and they absolutely will. It'll be interesting to see if some of the more console-like gaming titles, pricing-wise, if they start to go up a little bit. I would imagine we'll see them creep from, in the past I've seen them at $4.99, around $5. I have a feeling we'll see more stuff in the $10 to $20 range that's universal, that works across iPads and Apple TVs. And that could be good for game developers, too, in terms of just making sure they stay profitable and continue to want to develop games for the platform.
Yes, and you know what? I'm okay paying a little bit more because these developers work hard, and if I'm giving them some money, they're more likely to continue developing their products.
Well, I mean, in a Lego game on a console is going to cost you, $30-$40, I think, right? I'm not a console gamer, but I think those are typical prices for, something on an Xbox.
Yes, I think that's right. Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're still saving money even if it's $10-$20. Because it in essence is exactly the same title. I don't think they're tweaked very much.
No, I'm sure all they're doing is making the changes that they need to for Apple Remote.
Yeah,
and then probably just calling it good.
Yeah. So again, I think anybody who's doing a sub, a $200 sub gaming dedicated gaming console, I would be worried about something like the Apple TV.
And rightly so. Yeah. I think after only a couple of days, Apple TV became my primary gaming console.
Yeah. And I was shocked by that. I'm not a huge gamer. I wasn't expecting a lot out of the gaming side of things, but it may be the killer feature on
That's
it.
What a lot of people are expecting.
I think.
Yeah.
Sleeper.
And then there's other apps, and I kind of poo-pooed this. But when I mentioned it to my wife, she went, "Ooh." So I think it was The Verge or somebody said, put on one of their top lists, the QVC app, the shopping app. And I'm like, oh, come on, shopping on the TV. I mean, how can this be a game changer? But when I read their article, the big game changer is as they're playing the video, there is a buy button right there on the screen that you can click and put in your card info. And I don't know if it goes through. It'd be even better if it goes through Apple Pay or your iTunes account, which I would imagine some people will do. I'm sure the capability's there. And if you can have one-click buying, that's kind of cool. And I mentioned also things, she likes to watch listings and things like that. It's just kind of a hobby for her to see, you know, what's around and what's available. And I mentioned the Zillow app. And, you know, I'm like, I'm never going to install the Zillow app. And she's like, oh, that sounds very interesting, you know, to see big full screen images of, you know, on a 32-inch, 42-inch screen with, you know, of the listings that was appealing to her. So it's like, oh, okay. Well, you know, there's some other apps that I would not, you know, particularly think were applicable to myself, but I think, it, you know, that is going to be a little bit of a game changer for certain customers as well.
I think you're right. Yeah. Hey, we're out of time. And I would love to keep talking, but we are out of time. So before we go, I want to talk about Drobo real quick. Drobo, they're the company that makes the real easy-to-use hard drive RAID systems that you just plug into your computer or pop onto your network, and pretty much just work. And what I like about their systems is that there is no configuration that you really need to worry about. You just pop in hard drives, and it figures out what to do with those drives. And then if a drive is too small for what you need and you need to swap it out with a bigger one, no problem. You can actually pop out drives while the system is running and put new ones in, and you're not going to lose any data. It just keeps track of all of that in its mysterious way so that none of your data gets lost. If a drive's too small, or if a drive fails and you have to replace it, whatever. Just do it while all the lights are on and everything's working. It's really cool. And they have the Drobo 5N, which is really cool if you want to have a big storage system on your network that you can use for backing up files or sharing documents, whatever you want to do. You can actually install Drobo-specific apps onto a 5N and then enhance its functionality. And one of those apps that you can pop on there is Plex. And so that means you can take a Drobo and turn it into your own home entertainment data storage system. So you can have all your movies, all your music, all of that stuff stored in one place. And then since Plex can share that information or all that content out to multiple devices in multiple locations, you can then have your Drobo Plex server giving you access to your TV shows and movies and music no matter where you are. And we know there's a Plex app on the way for Apple TV, so that means you could then just stream all that content right to your brand new Apple TV as well, which is really cool. Okay, so what Drobo is doing for you, my dear listeners, is they're giving you guys a discount, $100 off. So what you need to do is go to drobostore.com and then use the discount code TMO100. And when you do that, you're going to be able to get a $100 discount off of a Drobo Mini, which is their portable model, a Drobo 4-bay, which holds four hard drives and connects to your computer, or the Drobo 5N, which is the network one that I just spoke about. And there you go, $100 discount. That's really nice. And their products are really cool. So go check it out. Drobo, thank you for being our sponsor. That link, again, drobostore.com, and use the discount code TMO100. And with that, we really are out of time. So, Adam, thank you so much for being here today.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And John, thank you for being here as well.
Hey, you're welcome. And listeners, just so you know, the new Apple TV noted for 1080p will also output 720p. Just in case you're limited to that, it'll work.
Oh, I hope you're not limited to that. But if you are, we still love you. All right, Drobo, thank you for being our sponsor today. Listeners, thank you for being here. And let me know, what do you think about the new Apple TV? Shoot me a message, observations@macobserver.com, on Twitter, TMO Daily, or right in the show notes for today's episode. I'll be checking all those places. Thanks for being here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.